I guess first order of business, Warren, did you make my chair extra small for you?
If you like it where it is, it was me.
Or was that mayor pro tempore? All right, we'll do the adjustment next meeting. All right, call to order. See, we have everybody in attendance except Councilman Ross and Councilwoman Bonzer. And general announcements. Warren, you want to start with Chris Pike?
I do. And first off, just a couple of minor things. If you don't hang up on the recording, if you come to the podium to speak here in public comment or otherwise, please use the microphone. It's just, I guess someone said before, it's not optional, to be able to record. So we appreciate that. And also for amplification to be able to hear in the back. And wanted to welcome the City Council to the new facility and glad to be here for the inaugural meeting of the City Council in our new facility. It is my pleasure at this time to introduce two of our new staff folks. I'll invite them up one by one, introduce them to the Council and the public. Our Finance Director, Chris Pike, is here with us tonight, and he's going to be doing a presentation in a little while on the millage rate, and I'll also be doing your financial report next week, and we'll see lots more of him. Chris is a practicing CPA, a master's in public administration. Most recently was the deputy finance director with the Orlando Aviation Authority. And previous to that was the finance director for the cities of Griffin and Morrow. It came through us through our interview panel. We've interviewed him, I think, three times before we finally pulled the trigger, made sure we got the right guy for the job. And we certainly do. Excited to have him aboard and to let him just say hello to the council as well.
Gave you my background. I'm certainly very pleased to be here, not just with the city of Griffin, but just to be back home in Georgia. I was born and raised here. Family, got a wife, two kids. My son was born in Henry County almost 3 years ago, so glad to get them back here in the real South and look forward to working with each of you.
Right. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Chris. And also, we have sent the council an email. We've changed our strategy on public relations. We've got so many good stories to sell here in Dunwoody that we need to be able to capture more of them. Through our contract with Calvin Giordano & Associates, we've gone ahead and hired a 30-hour-a-week public relations and marketing person, very dynamic individual, and I'll introduce her at this time. Edie, if you'd like to come up, Edie Damon. As our public relations marketing person, is going to be working on our website, press releases, our newsletter, and any other publications. So we're trying to get as much good stories about Dunwoody out as possible. And Edie, I'm going to let you kind of give your background a little bit, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. My
name is
Edie Damon, and it's a pleasure to meet you guys. I'm really looking forward to coming and working with you guys and working for the city of Dunwoody and getting to know the people that live here. A little bit about me. I went to the University of Georgia, got a degree in advertising and journalism, and I'm currently a student up at North Georgia College and State University, and I'm working on my MBA there. I live here in Georgia. I've been here for almost 10 years with my husband, who's in the military. I look forward to getting to know you guys, and thank you guys for the opportunity.
Welcome.
I'm aboard.
Welcome.
Is there a Marine?
Army.
He sends his condolences.
That's true. I was a little surprised to see Edie when I first read the announcement. I hadn't met you yet, but I thought it was Eddie. What a wonderful surprise.
Eddie and not Eddie.
Welcome aboard. And with that, we will move on to the any general announcements. I have none. So we will move to invocation. Robert, would you mind doing the honor for us, please?
At this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our mission and reflect our values. Give us strength to hold to our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and a keen perception to lead us. And above all, keep us charitable as we deliberate.
Amen. Thank you, Robert. All right, Mr. Shortle, would you do the honors?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, meeting minutes. Everybody have an opportunity to review the meeting minutes. Does anybody have any comments on the minutes? Robert?
I was going to move that we adopt them.
Okay.
Dennis?
Second.
All right, Tom, second.
Discussion on that, Denny? On the minutes from May 18th, 2009, second last page, we talked about requesting to initiate a zoning tax amendment for outdoor lighting efficiency ordinance. Just says Councilman Lichtenstein said he was in support of this and directed the staff to send the tax amendment. I think it suggested the staff had a directive there for just a pending change.
Okay.
How would you agree with that?
No objection.
Any other discussion on that? With that small cleanup, all in favor of approval of these minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, moving on to public comment. I have one card.
Point of information, did we just approve both sets of minutes? Just want to make sure we did.
Yes, we'll hear a motion for both sets.
Yes, right, okay.
Okay. All right, Mr. Sims.
I apologize, Mr. Mayor. I was just trying to put that for the public comment for the whatever we're doing.
Oh, I see. No problem. Okay, that's not a problem. And I actually skipped something. That's good. Good timing there, right? Approval of the meeting agenda. I have an item I'd like to make a motion to adjust the agenda and add a L4. And I don't know on this, I haven't looked at this new meeting agenda. It might be on here. No, it's not. Okay, I'm going to add L4, which is a resolution to oppose the closing and relocation of the Dominey Village Parkway Post Office. Have a second on that?
Second.
All right, Mr. Taylor, second. Discussion on this? Seeing if there's none, all in favor of adding L4, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, please adjust your meeting agenda to reflect that. All right, public comment where Mr. Sims is going to hold off on his comment. I don't see any other public comment cards for now, so we will move to mayor and council comment, and I'll start down on the west side of the room.
This Saturday, the Dunwoody Nature Center will be holding a music show from the Paul Green School of Rock Show Band. If you've ever seen the movie Rock Show, where the kids get together and put on a show, well, they're performing at the Dunwoody Nature Center, and that's where I'm bringing my kids this Saturday night. So, looking forward to that.
Great. Thank you, John.
I just want to thank the City of Dunwoody staff for all the work that it took to get this facility ready. It's wonderful. We appreciate it. We appreciate the microphones, the more comfortable chairs, the climate control. You guys did a great job, and I thank you. And it was done on budget and on time, and a round of applause for you guys for all your time.
Robert, now I have nothing to say. I actually do have a couple things to say. One of them, and I don't like to pick on any particular council folks, but I once again will pick on Mr. Shortle here, and those of you that might have missed the announcement, but Mr. Shortle had gone to Primos to teach the kindergartners, and he was awarded a honorary kindergarten degree. I think it's just great testament that never give up.
Any of that for second one?
And there's also a picture up here. If any of y'all would like copies of him getting his degree, so I'm going to frame that, and it will be in my office as well, second floor upstairs. Also, I just want to make a general comment that you will not find on today's agenda anything about the arts festival. I have asked to put it on next Monday's work session, and we'll be discussing it. My suggestion is this city council removes itself from being the social calendar butterfly of this community and basically set policies and procedures and outline if somebody wishes to do an event in our city, then that policy, as long as it's followed, then that event can take place. So we'll be working on that policy next Wednesday, and I want to let everybody know why it is not on the agenda.
Next Monday.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Robert. And that's all I have. Benny?
Just a quick note. Councilwoman Bonser was hoping to be here tonight, but she couldn't quite make it. So I thank you for your thoughts and prayers for her, and I ask you to continue. Secondly, the police. The police are doing a very good job, but all of us as citizens are the eyes and ears of the police. In other words, I guess what I'm telling you just can't, go in your basement and expect the police to do everything. So if you see anything suspicious or anything, I would ask you to please call 911 ASAP. And if you think, well, I don't know, don't worry about it. Call 911 ASAP, and let's get on it. My neighbor is the watch for my area, and as he sent out one the other night, he said, if you see a van backing in somebody's driveway when they're not there, that's a good reason. But the police are continuing to do a very good job, and just because, you see a car parked at Dunkin' Donuts, the police are allowed to also. So please give them that right. Lastly, on a personal note, after a long discussion with my wife and members of my campaign committee and friends and neighbors, I've decided to ask the citizens of District 1 for their support in re-election this fall. We have accomplished much. Much has to be done. Let us continue to build our city together. Thank you.
Thank you, Denny. Tom?
Last thing is, a couple weeks ago, Denny and I spent the day watching the court proceedings, and we had some happy, some very unhappy folks there. And we got a lot of feedback. It was a Channel 46 story on it. Of course, they interviewed the unhappy folks, not any of the folks that were happy, but had a few emails and phone calls about excessive fines and this sort of thing. And I will tell you, we have the mobile radar unit out there now on some of these roads and recording some of the speeds. And Denny, it was the one on Chamblee Dunwoody was the top speed right down by Austin where it cuts off from Roberts to 101 miles an hour, 45. And right on Dunwoody Club, 98. So, if anybody thinks they got an excessive fine for that, this is not the Audubon, and just treat that with the appropriate amount of skepticism. That's all I can. And by the way, Deputy Sides, the police are doing a great job out there enforcing. They blazed me at least three times, so.
You deserve it.
Thank you, Tom. Okay. All right, moving on to unfinished business. Chairman, we have a second read here.
An ordinance amending Chapter 27 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances by text amendment to clean up certain language, reinstate certain provisions, and amend certain requirements.
Move we adopt.
Second.
Okay.
Any discussion on that?
Yes, hey. Just a few points here. Is that in our paperwork, Sharon? Is that all in here?
Yeah.
I thought it was so long. I didn't see it.
Is that number 1?
Gen 1. I hope I used this mic enough here. On number 13, it's page 21, section 117. I'm just asking this, community development here today?
Yes, sir.
It says lot width means the width and distance between the sidelines measured the right angles to the depth along a straight line parallel to the street. I guess my question was, like, if you're on a cul-de-sac, how does that work?
We have separate definitions within the code of how to measure setbacks when you're on a corner lot, when you're on a double frontage lot, or when you're on a cul-de-sac. So all that is detailed in other sections of the code. I don't have it off the top of my head.
You don't have to. That explains that one.
Okay.
That explains that one very good. Okay. Number 46B. Again, these are probably... This is what I get for reading this. This is concerning the community council, as I recall. And I guess my question was there... I know that the community council recommended one thing, the staff recommended another one on the verbiage, and it has to do with the applicant being at the community council meeting. And I just throw this out to you and to the council that there it is, it's at the bottom of that page. Applicants are encouraged to be present. I mean, I would think that either the applicant or his or her representative should be present at the community council meeting. I find it hard to believe that we would consider an applicant's application without representation from them of some type. And I had a motion to amend that either the applicant or a representative of the applicant be present at the community council meeting to present their application.
Point of information? Yes, Robert. Jenny, I think at our last meeting, at the first read, I thought we had said that since that wasn't a cleanup item but a policy item, we would take that out of this version, we'd go ahead and pass the cleanup, and we would put that discussion on the work session agenda meeting for next week, so that we could deal with it as a policy issue. And I think I sent an email to Sharon asking that we make sure that it was on there so we could talk about it.
I believe you're right, Robert.
So okay. I'd suggest that rather than amending this tonight,
okay,
let's go ahead and talk about it at the work session.
I agree with that, Dan.
Okay.
Okay, number 49. That's the last time I'll read all this stuff.
F2-2A.
John, it looks like it's going to be on page
9.
Number 49 in the... yeah, that's it. Yeah, thanks. The A there, it says, to provide for the protection of neighborhoods within the county where lots have been, and would that be preferred to read city?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, it would. One of the general comments within this cleanup is there's many cases where, just through the process of editing, there's a couple places where it says county, where it should say city, or Board of Commissioners, where it should say City Council. So we wrote into this ordinance the blanket clause that in all cases where that is incorrect, it would be corrected through this amendment. That's simply one of the cases that we missed.
Okay. 2F25A. Special administration permits from the Director of Public Works. Probably more you.
That's correct. That was also one of our blanket amendments of wherever it's directed. It's supposed to go to the Public Works Director. I'm pretty sure has Richard has enough to do without overseeing our department. So yes, that would be the Community Development Director or the Director of Community Development.
Okay, if you drop right down to number C there, special land use permits from the Board of Commissioners.
So, yes, again, a blanket change to the appropriate review body.
All right, wonderful. Any other discussion on this?
Just one point of clarification. I didn't find anywhere in here where we made attendance at board zoning board hearings compulsory. That was the recommendation from the zoning board. We didn't put that in here, right?
That's correct. Okay. This amendment is staff's recommendation.
Right, okay. Just want to make sure.
The staff report reflects the conversations that occurred at those meetings.
Perfect. We good?
All right, any other discussion on that?
Yes, John?
I am looking forward to next week's work session in the sense of some of the topical changes for the community council. We've found in the past where there really hasn't been enough participation, enough public notice for the community council meetings. In fact, there's one this Thursday coming up, which we'll be talking about outdoor lighting efficiency. So I'm looking forward to that one coming up. Just want to make that point known that this is a cleanup of technical issues, but we're looking forward to some of the reworking of the entire aspect of the community council that we're talking about.
All right. Thank you, John.
Any other discussion on this?
All right. Seeing that there's none,
all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
It's all right. Cleanup passes there. All right. Second read on rezoning, Dunwoody United Methodist Church.
An ordinance to rezone the Dunwoody United Methodist Church property to
remove it from Dunwoody
Village overnight. Thank you.
Will we approve the ordinance as read?
Second.
Commissioner Hannigan for that second. Any discussion on this? All right, just to, I'll discuss a little bit just to clarify this, taking Dunwoody United Methodist Church out of the overlay district.
Is there a staff report?
There was on the first go around.
Would you like one? We can get another one.
Just for an update for the people in the audience.
Jennifer, if you please give us a quick update on this.
Thank you very much. There was no change to the documentation or staff recommendation as a part of the first to second reading process. This is indeed a request to remove the Dunwoody United Methodist Church from the overlay district.
All right, any questions for Jennifer while she's up here? All right, seeing that there's none, all in favor of this, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, ordinance passes. Reports and presentations. We've got the PCID here to chat about the intersection at Mount Vernon and Ashford Dunwoody Road. If anybody has received any questions on that, I'm sure you have it, but there's some work going on up the street here. Okay.
Good evening.
Hello.
First of all, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Tony Peters. I'm the program director for the Perimeter Community Improvement Districts. I've actually been in this role at the CID since 2005, so I have some good knowledge and background, but for some of this discussion today, I am going to rely upon some older knowledge and background of former consultants and also our colleagues at the DeKalb County Transportation Department for some of your history today as well. I do want to thank you, Mayor and Council, and Mr. Hellmacher for giving us the opportunity to present to you today. We look forward to working with you all in the future and have had a great first few months. I want to also commend Richard Meehan. It's been a pleasure working with him in the Public Works Arena. Anytime we, this is our second time as a CID going through a new jurisdictional transfer, and of course, all a little nerve-wracking to see how that's going to go. We've been extremely happy with how all this has gone, especially with Mr. Meehan in public works role. Since there was no PowerPoint capabilities in this room this evening, I went ahead and just printed out this presentation for you. And I believe this was also put in the back area for anybody in the audience who wanted to follow along as well. And on the very bottom right is a paper, a slide number, so I'll reference it every time we move to that slide. See it there. I'm more than willing, of course, to answer any questions for you. I can either leave those to the end, or if there's something really pressing you'd like to discuss first line, I can actually go through that way as well. Second slide, project specifics. This intersection is just one of four being redone along Ashford Dunwoody Road from Meadow Lane up to Mount Vernon. It was part of a package of intersection improvements that was awarded through the Governor's Regional Transportation Authority Bond Program, and was actually one of four other projects that the CID and DeKalb County were able to garner back in 2002 timeframe to get intersections, streetscapes, and all types of infrastructure improved, primarily Northern I-285 within the current city of Dunwoody limits. Back at that time, there were public hearings that were held based upon the fact these are federal dollars. We had to abide by all those federal requirements, one of them being public hearings. And on this particular intersection, apparently during that time of public hearing, was when the coordination, I believe, started as it relates to some of the differences that you're going to see as an end result of this intersection upgrade compared to the other intersections along the Perimeter West area, Nashford-Dunwoody, and the more commercial part of the perimeter area. And I want to highlight a few of those if I could. In coordination with the DHA, and I'm going to reference two names that have been given to me that were big players in that coordinating role with our consultants, PPS&J, and with DeKalb County Transportation. I believe Bill Phillips and Bill Grant played a major role in that coordination, so we appreciate their efforts from a while ago, and we hope to see these efforts at your portion pretty soon. We are not using hardly any of the perimeter CID's public space standards. As it relates to this intersection, for example, we are not using the decorative green color. We're using a black color. And for the street lighting, we are not using the decorative green. We're using a decorative black color. For the crosswalks on the road, instead of having the two-tone colors that we have used several times at intersections throughout the CID, we're using a stamped brick concrete color format, if you will, to give it a different look and feel other than how it is in the more commercial part of our area. One of the results of this intersection, apparently going through design, was the obvious realignment of the right-hand turn lane from Ashford-Dunwoody northbound onto Mount Vernon going east. I have asked questions before as to how that occurred, how that came to fruition. So the answer that I'm providing you are answers provided to me that were a result of that. Just so we're clear, this project has been designed for almost 4 years by now. So a lot of the stuff we're talking about were decisions made a while ago, actually. If you can recall, it's already been changed already, the old way the intersection used to work, you would do a nice kind of smooth right-hand turn on Mount Vernon. I actually use the word smooth because I have several friends who live in Dunwoody and claim they don't like the new way it looks, so I'm having to figure out ways to discuss that as well. Apparently, URS, who was the designer of this project, did what's called a traffic accident study for the intersection. And apparently that data really solidified the need to change the alignment of that right-hand turn. And I'm going to give you a very broad brush example. I actually go that way home myself, so I can visualize it in my head. If in the old way you were making a right onto Mount Vernon, on your left was obviously more of the green space area of landscaping to your left. Once you kind of got around the bend, and you kind of approached aligning up with Mount Vernon, you realized you had to kind of look to your left to find out when you could sneak in as best you could. Apparently, what was happening was that when people would make that left with their head, they were literally having to kind of look behind them and to the left. And if at a time, the person in front of them put their brakes on because they were trying to get in as well with urging traffic, that was apparently causing an accident per week. So this new alignment, which actually has, as a positive, provided this pocket park, if you will, provides a way for you to make that turn where you have a clear visual of what's coming towards you on the Mount Vernon side and have a better ability to make your merge onto Mount Vernon going eastbound. And as I mentioned, the positive aspect of this realignment was this ability to form this, it's the only word I can use for it, pocket park feature. That actually removes the old turn lane and makes it where folks who are approaching that intersection from Ashford-Dunwoody or Mount Vernon are able to use that open area. And we're, of course, also giving the DHA and the City of Dunwoody the ability to do with that as they wish. From my recollection, there are talks of a water feature. Just today, Mayor Wright and others were trading emails regarding another type of feature that could be put in this area as well. So we look forward to being able to lay the foundation for you all to make that area as best possible use for your citizens and your community. One of the other big portions of this project, cost-wise, that really has made a great benefit already is obviously the paving of Ashford-Dunwoody Road from Meadow Lane to Mount Vernon. I'm going to show you some visual pictures here in just 1 second. But with this project and another greater project that preceded it, that's already been completed, we were able to repave Ashford Dunwoody Road from Hammond Drive now all the way to Mount Vernon. I think all of us here, you all more specifically, can probably attest to the fact that Ashford Dunwoody Road had probably not gotten repaved for quite some time. So the ability for these funds to go out and do that, I think, is a benefit for all. And I think it really formed up some problem areas, especially around the commercial part of the mall here as well. Slide 3 is a picture taken a few weeks ago. And the good news is I've taken some photos this morning that really depict the real area. But I want to give you a kind of sense of how we're doing and how fast we're trying to go with this. This obviously is the new alignment of the right turn lane going out to Mount Vernon, going eastbound. You can see to your left the cars that were still trailing on what was still there. This whole area that you see of new curb and gutter is also going to be an area where there will be brick pavers that go all the way towards the Regions Bank area. We go to slide 4. This is the area of new sidewalk going in front of the Regions Bank. And you're actually looking eastbound on Mount Vernon towards the Ashford Dunwoody interchange or intersection. There was want here to actually put this sidewalk in with a 2-foot grass buffer. However, that was not available. Based upon, you can see the terrain to your right that would require a much taller wall, and our ability to fund that was not at this present time. So what we'll be having here is a 5-foot sidewalk that's snug up right next to the curb. On slide 5, this is a depiction showing you the difference in features that we are going to be implementing in this particular intersection, unlike the other ones to its south. This is the traffic mast arm signal pole for the new signal, and this is at the northwest corner of the intersection. On slide 6, this is the pocket park. Obviously, this is a photo as of this morning, and you can obviously see that the old right turn lane is now officially gone. And this is the paving of the way, if you will, for that new park area to be installed. Slide 7 is a similar look, but it's more focusing on that new right turn. And I want to bring your attention to what I discussed before about the old way the intersection was aligned. If you look at that black car that's in the turn lane now, right next to that yellow piece of earth-moving equipment, you can tell that when that person gets lined up with Mount Vernon going eastbound, they've had all the way from even before that first little orange barrel to really see who's coming and where they're coming from and how to get there. And it really, I think, gives them a much more better ability and visual sense to make some decisions and to move on their way. Slide 8. This is on the southeast corner of the intersection. This is holding the other mast arm that will be facing and holding the signal for people on Mount Vernon. This whole area around the mast arm is going to have brick pavers in it and decorative features. We have a much more, obviously, detailed landscape plan that shows all of the infrastructure features such as the brick paver work and so forth. But I want to just give you kind of real live photos for now. On slide 9, another photo of what the new line version will look like. And as I mentioned before, that little area gap between the curves proceeding eastbound is all going to be filled in with brick pavers. And on slide 10, obviously, we are not finished repaving. There are certain little areas in and around the intersections from Mount Meadow Lane all the way to Mount Vernon, where the contractor obviously wanted to wait till the end to do all that final paving in and around the intersection, but wanted to get all the large parts finished first. So everything you see here is pretty much kind of, I guess that line is just north of the Regions Bank entrance, going to the north, will of course be repaved, as will the internal part of the intersection be repaved as well. And last but not least, I just want to once again reiterate our appreciation to the DHA for allowing us to get this project built and allowing us the opportunity to coordinate with them and to utilize their appropriations and their suggestions into this intersection design. And this will be done October of 2009. Unfortunately, when we have large swaths of these projects from Meadow Lane to Mount Vernon, and there are 3 to 4 intersection upgrades to have, I am unable to give you a definitive time as to when one particular intersection will be all finished. And I say that because the signal contractor does their work in their own sequences, and they do work when they get their materials in. So obviously the paving work could be done a lot earlier, but the signal work, they kind of attack one signal at a time. So I understand you're probably going to have questions if you haven't already of, you know, why does it look like they work hard one week and then not the next? That's kind of the reason why. It's based upon their schedule and getting those individual things done for each intersection. And I would love to entertain any questions that you may have.
I have any questions for Mr. Peters? Yes, Danny.
Tony, one of the big things, and of course we had some nice trees there, and they're gone. The landscaping plan, are there any mature type trees or anything going in there? Have you got some kind of drawing or anything like that? What can you tell us about what's going back in there as far as trees, landscaping,
sure,
etc.?
Sure. On that landscape plan, obviously the entire area will be sodded with fescue, and all of some lower lying lyrium and that type of thing. As far as trees are concerned, I don't have it in my head specifically, but I can get back to you on exactly what trees, if any, are going in there. I do know that the trees that were removed, we did coordinate with the DHA as it relates to how we can make you whole on that. And I believe that coordination is still either in progress or if there's anything I need to do still on that, I'm not sure. But I know that the decision to relocate them, I believe, was aborted. And we were, of course, willing to do that, but the decision was different on that. But I can get back to you on that question and let you know. And I do want to reiterate that we're wanting to come in here and build you kind of a foundation to do your vision. We don't want to pretend that we know what you want to do with that corner. And obviously, with its new use of being able to assess it, access it, without having to cross lane traffic,
it
probably can
have a different use of
it than
before.
Okay. Any other questions for Tony?
Yeah, John.
Tony, on Ashford Dunwoody, turning right onto Mount Vernon going east, traffic doesn't stop. I believe it's a flowing right-hand turn. Tell me how pedestrians cross the street, the type of crosswalk, the signalization in order to stop for the slow cars that are nonstop going towards Mount Vernon.
They have to cross that one lane on their own. And they get to a pedestrian island, and they push a button, and the button comes on for them, and they will then cross the straight portion of Mount Vernon. But this design has followed all GDOT guidelines and requirements. And I know this intersection is different in other ones that I'm going to reference, in the sense that it's a free-forming right turn.
Correct.
It's different than making a right out of Ravinia, and you're intending to look at people make a right out to Ashford Dunwoody. But their goal is to look to their left and proceed as they wish over one lane of traffic, and then they get to a safe haven, which is pretty large, and then they get to cross where they want to go right.
But if I'm blind going in that direction, how do I cross the street? What's the ADA requirements? Does it meet all of the requirements? Explain to me how it's going to work, because I don't understand that aspect of it.
I can't explain that part, but I can tell you that it has met ADA or would not have been able to get to bid. So I can do some research for you and find out what requirements it did meet to get it to this point. And if we need to look at other ways to assist there, then we'll move forward, then you won't be able to do that.
Because that's the major concern I have over the design. As far as the sweeping right-hand turn, the nonstop traffic, trying to cross that intersection, I think would be very difficult. And from what I'm hearing, even more difficult than I imagined. After the other council members have any other comments, I'd like an update on Perimeter Center West. I understand that some restaurants may be affected by some of the construction or have been affected by the construction. Just give us an update after the council is done with that subject. Any other projects working in the PCID area would be greatly appreciated.
And I want to make sure I'm out that we're looking at time.
We're usually here until about 12.
Great.
Yeah, we're good.
Any other questions? Yes, Rob.
Yeah, I share John's concern with that, with the pedestrian friendliness of that. As you improve the flow of traffic from Ashford Dunwoody to Mount Vernon, and I think what you're doing will improve the flow of traffic. You do so a little bit at the risk of pedestrians who have to contend with that improved flow. And John and I actually, I think, saw the plan together for the first time last summer, maybe, and we noted that there was no signal there for pedestrians, and it caused us a little concern. I've also got a concern with the big, brand-new, large metal pole that's in the middle of the island, which appears to hold up only a couple of guide wires. Is that a temporary pole? You know what I'm talking about? That looks like it's a high-tension a pole that was chopped in half. Is that a permanent feature for this intersection?
I believe it is. As it relates to utilities, I will not pretend to be able to let you understand that we have any great leg up on the utilities as it relates to relocation or them getting in and out of our way for these construction jobs. I will tell you that is the biggest delay of any project we've done in this area is utility relocations. As far as Georgia Power is concerned, obviously all of the coordination with them was done per normal guidelines, and I've had that same observation as well, and we are actually in discussion with them about why and maybe a little less intrusive. But I will tell you that particular transfer of power, no pun intended, actually took 3 months longer than I wanted it to take. So them at least getting in there to do their role was half of our battle, because that one movement of that line was hindering all the work that I've been able to show you today on getting where we are today as far as progress is concerned. But I understand your concern completely about the issue of a pedestrian traversing over that one lane. I will look into that. And as I mentioned before, these projects, unfortunately, were designed well before my tenure. So going into design and construction, we're doing a lot better job of looking at things on the very periphery, at the very beginning, and making sure we can attest for some of those lessons learned.
All right, thank you. And it's a good observation. I know I was involved in the early years with DHA during this, and that was a concern 4 years ago, and I believe the grant that was awarded was based on pedestrian friendly. So that's just off my recollection, so that would be pretty ironic. But Mr. Peters, we appreciate the time. Any other questions, and we'll move, John, go ahead to your Credit Center West.
I believe that's the street.
Great. We have one other major project. Obviously, Credit Center West is a $7 million streetscape project. It is actually the exact same funding as we're speaking of today. It was, of course, never our intention to have all these projects going out at the same exact time. Unfortunately, we were stuck in an environment at the Georgia DOT where there was a new person at the helm, and things were moving quite slowly, and we actually had to wait 9 months to get a notice to proceed to award to the contractor who was the lowest bidder. So we had to have contractors sit on these bids for 9 months, which is not normal and typically not accepted in the construction industry. However, with the lack of work that was going on, we had some leeway there with them. This Credit Center West job will be finished in November of this year. It's a 15-month contract from start to finish. It's a different contractor than the one working on this project we're speaking on this evening. It is obviously one of our most financially, largest financial project we've had, the largest impact project we've had, and the most intrusive project we've had. We did the exact same treatments to Perimeter Center Parkway behind the mall, which turned out as a beautiful entry point that we bought for that project. And all those same features are going to be the primary look and feel of what Pre-C West will look like in the end. Obviously not looks like a war zone. We only allow these contractors to close down lanes of traffic between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. They are not allowed to close any lanes between the hours of 5 a.m. and 9 a.m. or between 8 p.m. and the later part. And with that said, the only time they're allowed is that in-between time. Now, obviously, Perimeter Center West is a totally different road than Perimeter Center Parkway was. We were actually spoiled to Perimeter Center Parkway how that went, because nobody was using it. And we could go out there all day long and nobody would care what we were doing. Obviously, this one is different. I cannot say how apologetic we are for all the intrusiveness that it has caused, whether it's people who work on PC West at hotels, restaurants, or office buildings, or those folks traveling into the market from the St. Springs area. We have both sides, and we have gotten both of those feedbacks. And it has actually spawned us to rethink ways we will future let contracts. And that only option we have is to allow only nighttime work. Unfortunately, we'll have to assess what the cost increases of that will be. For obvious reasons, when you're repaving a road or doing concrete work, that concrete and asphalt comes from somewhere. And that somewhere is typically far away. And that somewhere is typically has to be open for the person to bring the stuff to the site. And that factory or that area actually makes a premium cost to keep it open during that time. And so, of course, the contractor, when bidding that job, if in the contract specs say only nighttime work, that money will be passed along to whoever's paying for the job. However, if we had to do Perimeter Center West again, it'd be my recommendation to do that only nighttime. I don't think we're ever going to have a project that's that intrusive in this market again, but I can tell you that if we ever get the slightest inkling that it will be, we will do all nighttime work. And I've had multiple personal discussions with general managers of restaurants, some, for some reason, don't see the problem, and some do. I don't know if that's an issue of just which restaurants do better and which ones do worse, I don't know. But I want you all to know that on behalf of the CID, we have been empathetic. We have not been rude to these folks when they call. We answer their phone call. I actually go out and visit with them myself personally, and I try to do my best to give them kind of the update of where we are. And we actually include these folks on email drafts that we go out that make folks know what we're doing in these projects. However, I'm sure you can imagine, specifically with restaurant folks, those folks turn over quite a bit. So more times than none, the people we're getting are not regular sometimes. But as far as that is concerned, I know that is a concern, and we do apologize for that, and we are going to be out of there as quickly as possible. And to add to that, one last thing, all of the major traffic disruptions between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. that have been caused are primarily because of all of the brand new curb and gutter that had to go in between Ashford, Dunwoody, and Mount Vernon. That work is almost literally 99% finished. The only other times we're going to be having lane closures are to put in the decorative street lights and put in the basis for those. But we have convinced the contractor to do that work on one side of the road and one side of the road only, whatever way they're going to be, not on both sides during the other day. I want to answer that for you if I have.
Great. Now, we've talked before, and thank you for the update. Much appreciated. Thank you.
All right, any other questions for Mr. Peters? Thank you very much for,
thank you for having me.
Updating us on both those projects. And let me just do a quick invoke executive privilege here and ask Mr. Grant to come up to the podium, please. And could you, Bill Grant, I believe, is working with the DHA as far as on the landscaping. So, Denny or Tom or whoever asked that question about trees, could you just give us a quick snapshot of what's happening on that side of things?
Well, I'm a little confused, okay, because there's a lot of things that showed up the last couple of days that I don't know about. But basically, my attitude is we provided a plan some years ago. I'm not even sure that's the plan that's being used. But whatever.
Who's Mike, Bill?
I'm not even sure that that's the plan being used, so I don't even know, I don't really know what they plan to do. The mark's in the right place. I have told the mayor and anybody and everybody who's asked me, it's a very hot topic the last 2 weeks. When it gets all done, we'll fix it. We're going to make a neat park, we're going to have some benches, we're going to have sprinklers. I won't even tell you the other stuff that we might or might not have, but we can make it something neat. I'm content with where it is and what's happening, and I'm ready to get it done. I wish they'd have picked last year or next year, not this year, but that's the way life is. Okay?
Okay. Sounds like a pretty good plan.
All right, thank you for coming out. All right, with that, we're going to move to new business, public hearing, first read. Karen.
In order for the mayor and council of the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, to fix the ad valorem tax rate for the city of Dunwoody for fiscal year 2009 and for other purposes.
Alright. Again, watch that mic. For some reason that mic is a little wacky. You gotta hold it close.
It's temperamental like me, so we should get along just fine.
state law requires 3 hearings to solicit public comment for the ad valorem taxes. This is the first of the 3 hearings, and the second and final readings are scheduled for next week. The proposed village rate that is recommended by staff is 2.74 mils, which is the rate that was previously assessed by DeKalb County for unincorporated areas. This technically, under state law, comes in as a tax increase based on the definition of state law, mainly because we have additional assessments, or in our case, we are setting a rate at this point. It is classified as a tax increase. I would like to point out to council that in future years, when you have assessments that go up, even if your village rate stays the same, we may still have to do 3 hearings and advertise it as an increase. It's a situation that I like to casually say that figures don't lie, but sometimes liars figure. So in this case, it is advertised as an increase, even though it is no additional tax on the taxpayers in this area. The collection of the taxes goes into the general fund. It's used for public works, police department, paving some of those roads that Mr. Peters mentioned have not been paved in many, many years, as well as funding our effective police department and reducing 101 mile per hour speeders throughout the city. And at this time, I would like to welcome Mayor and Council to open up for public comment.
Okay, with no objections, I'm going to open up the public comment. All right, with that, I'll ask for public comment cards. Mr. Sims, you're first on the list. And oh, I'm sorry, we're not using cards for this. I'm going to ask the public hearing, anybody that wants to speak in favor of this advertised tax increase, please make your way to the podium. Anybody that wishes to speak in opposition, please make your way to the podium. Mr. Sims.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I guess the easy thing to say, I would hope that we can look for something lower, even if it's by a tenth of a point. I say that because even though Mr. Hennigan has pointed out that we are the richest or one of the richer cities in Georgia, people are hurting. We've had people who are unemployed, and houses are slow to sell in this market. I want to make a point that franchise fees have been adopted and rolled over from DeKalb County, and I guess when I was voting on cityhood, I was hoping we were going to be able to do something better than the county. We don't have 50 years of legacy costs associated with pensions and buildings and everything else. And I would just like to see if there's any way we could squeeze out a dime. I think the citizenry of Dunwoody would appreciate some kind of benefit from this council to say that we're actually lowering your taxes. Even if it's a penny here and there, it still says that we're moving in the right direction. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stanley. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else that wishes to speak, please make your way to the podium.
This is just a side note to Mr. Shortall. This, before I get to this, don't ever say you won't read something.
If you could please state your name and...
Excuse me. My name is Betsy Choder. I live here in Dunwoody. I've lived here for the past 12 years. I just want to say a side note. Always read things. You as city council member should be reading things, so I applaud you for saying that you read out everything that had to do with the zoning development earlier. I'm up here because I have reviewed both the budget that was shown on the online that showed revenues and expenses of the city of Dunwoody, as well as what was placed on the internet for the actual figures for the millage rollback. This is going to, of course, be similar to what the previous speaker, I believe his name was Mr. Sims, had just spoken about. It concerns me greatly that when most governments are decreasing millage rates, it seems somewhat arbitrary and, in a sense, irresponsible if all we're saying is we're going to keep the same millage rate as the county had previously. The reason we became a city, or I thought that we became a city,
was to direct where our taxes would be spent and not end up what most governments have when they increase millage rates to be a surplus. I crunched a few numbers, and even looking back at what happened in Sandy Springs when they kept their millage rate the same, there ended up being a huge surplus in their government. It looks like what would happen to us if we keep it the same, based on property values alone and the millage rate, how we define a millage rate, since we're dealing with less costs, less expenses, we could, well, let's say the city of Dunwoody would probably get a land windfall of over $8 million if we keep that millage rate the same. Most governments, when millage rates are kept the same and there is a property increase, it is definitely people a property increase. I don't care how you say that this is by law a property increase. The county taxes, the city taxes, it's going to be a property increase. I would hope that you would allow residents to keep that money in their pockets for this year. You can always change it next year, but this is our first year. I would hope you lower, just like I said as other governments are doing, lower that millage rate so we can keep the money in our pockets for right now when we need it most. Property values, which is where the millage rate is based, is not going up. In fact, I don't know why we're keeping the millage rate the same. I keep repeating myself. What I'd like to see, bottom line, is that we not have a surplus of taxes this year based on what was posted on the internet. You have people have noticed about $14 million worth of expenses and almost $15 million in revenues as it stands now, which is almost $1 million in excess. Look at the numbers, crunch the numbers. I'm asking that we decrease millage rates merely to keep taxes in line with what's going on in our economy today. You'll probably hear from me next week as well, but thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishes to speak, please make your way to the podium. All right, seeing that there's none, with no objections, I'm going to close public comment. And with no objections, I will close public hearing. Do I need a vote on that, Brian?
Well, again, without objection.
Without objection. I see no objection. All right, public hearing is closed. And we are moving on to item L2.
Yeah, can we have some discussion on our...
Brian?
Have the public hearing is closed.
Okay, we're going to have some discussion, and I'll start with you, Robert.
Yeah, I want to let folks know that a number of us had some real soul-searching about whether or not to try to propose a slightly lower millage rate for this year. And the concern is this, that a lot of the revenue sources that we're projecting this year are estimates. We have no track record. Almost all of the items we've collected so far have come in different than what we projected. Some higher, some lower. We are confident that we're in good shape, but there's a fair amount of uncertainty in where all the revenue is going to come from. And I think it's not prudent for us to potentially put ourselves in a position where we could find ourselves at the end of the year without some of the revenue coming in where we hoped it would be, and having missed the opportunity to cushion that. So here's what I would say to those of you who are concerned. Next year, we're going to be in a different position. We're going to know what this year's revenues look like. We're going to have a lot more predictability. And, you know, check back with us. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how we treat that. And I think looking for a tax decrease next year is a perfectly reasonable thing to expect.
Thank you, Robert.
Danny? Yeah, I would echo what Robert said as far as the budget is concerned. Everyone must understand this is our first year. We have gone over this budget till we're blue in the face. But it is good. It is a good estimate, and in some cases it is a good guess. So, you know, there's always that flexibility, especially in these economic times. I will tell you that a couple of things. The degradation of the capital improvements of the infrastructure of the city. Let me get back on that. The degradation of the capital structure of the city, the infrastructure, has gone down extremely at an extremely high rate over the last 20 years that I've lived here. When I moved here, the streets would look like the top of this tabletop. They don't look like that anymore. There is boku projects that we could probably use money that would enhance the city across the spectrum. And I think that's very important that we do that. Number two, I think we need what I call a rainy day fund. Now, you take every government that you see out there, you know, and they say, oh boy, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to cut it right on the edge, and what happens? That year, the tornado comes through. Whatever it is, comes through, and here we are sitting here without the money to keep, to capitalize on a rainy day fund. I think that's one of the problems you see with many of the homes that are closed around. It's people, we all know, bought over their head. That's the American way, and now they can't pay for their house. I don't think we as a city ever want to be in that position wherever. Thirdly, we are required by our charter to have a balanced budget. And not to have that is just unspeakable. Fourth thing I would tell you about is that when we ran for the city and we projected the city out to all of you in the public and to each other up here on the front of this room, because we're nothing but citizens also, we said that we thought we could improve the services without increasing the tax rate. And that's basically what we promised, and that's basically what we're doing. I can tell you there's no way in, better change that word, there's no way that that you will ever see me vote for millage tax rate this increase this year. The last issue I just want to tell you is that DeKalb County has already proposed, let's put it like that, a 4% tax increase for this year. That tax increase, if you were not a city or we were not a city, would increase your taxes automatically by 4% on the tax rate. That's a 4% millage tax rate. That is not a 4% on anything else. 4% on your millage tax rate. So, Robert, you're good at this stuff. 4% of 2.74 is about 11 cents? Somewhere in that neighborhood?
11? I didn't follow the math.
Somebody, once you've got their calculator, you can figure that out for me. Take 2.74 times 1.04, and you'll come up with somewhere around, I think, about probably about 2.8586 or something. So by just holding it right there, we are providing, by becoming a new city, providing our citizens with basically a 4% tax savings on your city tax. And remember, your city tax is about 6% of your total tax bill. That's all we control. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Short.
Just two quick items. The proposed tax rate for DeKalb in the unincorporated sections for this year, the millage rate increase, is going from the 2.74, which it was last year, to 3.99, which is about 50% on that portion of that. So that's if we were not incorporated right now, that you'd be paying almost 4 versus 2.74. I think it's prudent to, what Robert said, to bear out the first year. We're essentially an entrepreneurial business. It's just started up, and you don't throw all the cash back right away. You assess what you have and try to do that next year. We're not raising it past what the previous tax rate was. And again, DeKalb is raising it in the unincorporated areas to 3.99 this year. That's the proposal. The other thing is the assessments. I don't know anyone else's assessments here, but I just lost an appeal of my assessment that went up $55,000 this year, the assessed value of my house in this economy, and that represents about a 15% increase in my assessment from DeKalb County. And again, the city will not be doing the assessments. It's going to be DeKalb County tax assessor that does those. That's how it is it's done statewide. So keeping the millage rate low, we still have to deal with the issues of the county raising the assessments higher. And, you know, we say property values are going down, but the county doesn't see it that way, at least in my case, right now. So that's all I have.
All right, thank you.
John. Just one small correction. I don't believe I ever said that the city was the wealthiest in Georgia. I may have been quoting Newsweek magazine, which may have said that, but I'm not sure. I stand by the fact that Dunwoody, Georgia is the wealthiest city. And just slight correction. It wasn't myself that said it. I may have been quoting somebody else. Thank you.
We're the best city.
Well, that goes without saying.
Okay. Any other comment or discussion? That wasn't much of a discussion, more like statements from all
We'll move on. It was...
we have three public hearings.
Good stuff. Okay. We're going for L2. Sharon.
A resolution providing for the assessment of the annual cost of maintaining and operating street lights in established street lighting.
Thank you. Make a motion to approve this. All right, thank you, Tom, for that second discussion on this.
Can we have staff report?
Yes, we can. Staff, Richard?
Yes, this is the resolution that we have to pass to officially pass the streetlight fee for 2009. We are basically, what the ordinance says is we're adopting the same fee rate that DeKalb County used last year for the streetlight fees. Again, we have not done enough assessment of what we're going to get billed by Georgia Power with what we're going to collect and know to balance it out to go ahead and propose any kind of increase for this year or decrease for that matter. But more likely, you know, when that power rates go up, it would more likely be an increase. To let you know, again, from DeKalb County standpoint, we've heard they're raising their streetlight rates anywhere from 10 to 28 cents per linear foot of frontage. And we're not... we're not proposing any rate increase this year, and this just formally adopts that rates for the streetlight districts in the city.
So would you call this a tax decrease, Richard?
Depends on your point of view.
Yeah, I won't push you that. All right, thank you for that, Richard. Discussion on this, yes, Robert?
Yeah, Richard, the I see in here an estimate of what we think the streetlights fees will bring in for the year. I also know that most of the subdivisions that have streetlights, they're charged a fee that pays for those streetlights. There are a couple of corridors where we have streetlights that benefit the general public, so no specific group, and Ashford-Dunwoody is the biggest group of those, although there are a couple of other places where there are streetlights that aren't part of the subdivision. Do we think that the amount of money that we're going to collect is going to cover both the neighborhood's power bill and also the power bill for the general areas?
We don't know yet. I know in the budget, we have budgeted $328,000 for the streetlight fund, which we believed was the amount that would have covered for both. In the estimate for the revenue based on, this is the actual assessment file that we sent to DeKalb, so this is actually what we are going to assess, not necessarily collect, but assess. We have not... Georgia Power is going through some issues, and we haven't received a bill from Georgia Power yet, so we don't know, good or bad, but we'll get what it comes to.
Eventually,
they've already said they're going to do it retroactive to January 1st, but they've been going through some issues and splitting the city streetlights out from the county streetlights, and so we don't have a bill to know exactly where this is going to end up yet this year.
Okay.
But at the same time, that's one... We're not sure yet, but at the same time, we don't feel comfortable proposing any increase in the fees because we don't want to be increasing fees if we don't know if we need to or not.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Any other questions for Richard? Yes, any? Or is this just general discussion?
Yeah. Richard, would you explain to the citizenry exactly how this is charged as far as frontage of your lot?
Yeah, the fee is based on... the city's divided up into streetlight districts. Generally, it's easier to explain for the newer neighborhoods. As a new subdivision comes in or a new street comes in and wants streetlights, they're set up as their own streetlight district. And we get, for the number of streetlights that are being put in, Georgia Power will give us a rate for that, for those streetlights. Usually a flat, they do it a monthly rate, so they say there's four streetlights in a district. They might give us a rate of $50 a month to cover those four streetlights. And so that works out to an annual cost. Then we can go the way that the rate is assessed, at least for new districts, is we take that by the linear foot of the frontage, linear foot along the street frontage for each lot, and do a per foot cost. So if there's 1,000 feet in the frontage, we take whatever the total dollar value per year divided by 1,000 to come up with the per street. Per linear foot rate, and then so if you have a 100-foot lot, you would take 100 times that per foot rate. For a lot of the established streetlight districts in DeKalb that go back, obviously we have homes and residents that have been here for 30, 40 years. Usually DeKalb, what has happened is over time, DeKalb has gotten kind of a, all of us have gotten almost on the same fee structure. And usually, typically for most of the city, we're charging 30 cents a foot is what DeKalb charged last year and what we're charging this year. And usually for corner lots, you only get charged for one frontage, the frontage length on one street. You don't get charged for the frontage length on both streets. And there's some other other things there, but generally it's the per foot cost.
Just a statement on for everyone's information. This item is right on your tax bill. You can go right down on your tax bill, and you'll see it there in 2008. It'll say the street lights. It's got something else that says exactly, but it's right down at the bottom. It's one of the three items that we control here on by the city. So you can see it right what was charged last year on your tax bill.
Thank you, Danny. Any other questions for Richard or discussion on this? All right, seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Richard. Resolution passes. All right, Chair, now L3, please.
A resolution to amend the regular city council meeting schedule for calendar year 2009.
Thank you.
Move we adopt.
I'll second. And Warren, could you kick us off, please?
Yeah, this is a required resolution to change the location of your meetings from the temporary location of the United Methodist Church to here, and also to codify that the first read of an ordinance that requires two reads can be read first reading at a work session. And that is about it in this resolution. Happy to answer any questions y'all may have.
Thank you, Warren. Any questions for Warren on this? I was wondering where everybody was when I stopped by the church. I didn't get the memo.
Always a 10%.
Yeah. All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, moving on to new agenda item L4. Sharon, do you have a copy of this new resolution?
Yes, I do. A resolution to assess the closing and relocation of the Dunwoody Village Parkway Post Office.
Okay, thank you. We don't have staff to speak to this because I just added this to the agenda, so... Would you like me to speak to this before?
I move we adopt the resolution.
I'll second you. Thank you, Denny.
Well, I'll start discussion on this. I added this to our agenda, and I apologize on the late notice. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm going to open up. Thank you, Robert, for that. I'm going to open up public comment before we discuss this because this is a new agenda item. Anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this resolution, please make your way to the podium.
Tell us what the resolution is.
The resolution, Sharon, would you read that again, please?
We can't.
She doesn't like it. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if
I can read that. Please do, Sharon.
A resolution to oppose the closing and relocation of the Dunwoody Village Parkway Post Office. Whereas the post office in the Dunwoody Village is centrally located to most of the businesses and citizens of this city, and whereas the Dunwoody Village Parkway location is extensively used by the businesses and citizens of the city to the extent that it is extremely rare not to have a way to obtain weather services from the U.S. Postal Service staff, and whereas the closing of the post office located on Dunwoody Village Parkway will have a significant negative impact on the current users of that post office, and will result in a substantial burden on the businesses and citizens of Dunwoody and the time needed to utilize postal services. And whereas the Dunwoody City Council has determined that it is in the best interest of the businesses and citizens of this city to oppose the closing and relocation of this post office location. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Mayor and City Council of the City of Dunwoody that the City of Dunwoody will petition the United States Postal Service to reconsider the closing and relocation of the Dunwoody Village Parkway Post Office.
Nicely done. Thank you, Sharon. All right, anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this resolution, please make your way to the podium.
Sorry. Thank you, Mayor and Council. I think it's a great idea, and I think what we should use as a selling point is the fact that 30360, where I live in Fontainebleau Forest, is being done by the post office on the other side of Buford Highway. I think if we told the Post Office Service to consolidate Dunwoody mail at one location and delivery from that location, that might be a better inducement for them to keep us going. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Anybody else wishes to speak in favor of this, please make your way up front. Seeing that there are none, anybody that wishes to speak in opposition, please make your way to the podium. Seeing that there is none, I'm going to close public comment on this, open up discussion amongst council, and let me start off again. The resolution is pretty self-explanatory, I believe, but the post office will be having a public hearing in these council chambers. Warren, what's that day, June 26th?
June 22nd at 6 p.m.
And the public meeting is going to discuss, again, closing the Dummy Village post office and consolidating to the what is now a sorting facility off North Shallowford. So this resolution is a formal resolution to oppose that closing. So let me open it up for discussion. Yes, Dan.
Some of you received an email from me in the last couple of days about this. A week or so ago, I talked to the number two person in the Dunwoody post office about this. As of now, I think they're only leaning towards closing the post office at Dunwoody Village, and might be leaning pretty heavily, and moving over to the post office, which is the sorting area, which is right next to Georgia Power. For those of you that know where that's at on Shallowford Road, just about one block inside 285.
Outside.
Thank you, Beechburg. I knew you correct me. I just wanted to see if you were still awake or I think the whole idea of this is, you know, I got plenty of answers back from my email, and everyone is opposed to that closing. I think, you know, it is the central... It's not in the middle of Dunwoody, but it sure is more in the central of Dunwoody, and it has much more excess as far as traffic flow, et cetera, is concerned. It's kind of the post office, Mr. Sims' idea. I like that idea. You know, maybe we could move them all into there. That would be even better. But while I'm talking about the Dunwoody post office, I just want to make one comment that those of you that didn't get the email, there's been a lot of complaints about the service there. I mean, you know, I'm not blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. I go there too. But I will tell you there's some reasons for this. And a couple of things that was brought up to me. Number one, higher authority, whoever they are limited to 2.5 clerks during the week and 4 on Saturday. Well, you know, 2.5 tells you there's not ever going to be more than 2 clerks out manning the windows at any one time. So this is one of the things, you know, so when you go in there, that's going to have to be controlled or at least changed by some effort of us and also higher authority from the post office if we're going to get more workers in there. Because with 2 folks working in there and one has to go to the restroom, you know what happens. And that's, everybody knows about the long lines. One of the other things, you know, and it's probably a action to a reaction, if you will. I explained to the person I was talking to that, you know, it's not always the most customer-friendly atmosphere there. And she, I think they know that. But one of the things that was brought up to me is that, you know, once in a while, and again, this might be a reaction to an action that you're stood in line for 20 minutes or so, is that once in a while, some of our citizens have gotten rather hostile and used rather derogatory remarks towards the folks that are working back there. You know, and I understand that people get a little hot under the collar on Irish, you know, but I will tell you that that's not going to help. That thing has got to be changed, you know, somewhere above their level. So all you're doing basically is kind of shooting the messenger. I asked her, I said, well, you know, maybe we can work together where you can talk to your folks and say, you know, instead of, kind of, you know, like I told her, we do it in Dunwoody. You all call Dunwoody, you pick up the phone and says, good morning, City of Dunwoody, this is Sharon, how may I help you? Instead of, next! Yeah. I said, you know, and furthermore, I said we would talk to our citizens and ask them to maybe try to be a little more courteous and patient, if at all possible.
while we work, if you will, with higher authority and maybe get some more help in there, because two clerks just isn't enough. You know that, I know that. But again, the folks back there, we'll see if we can work together. But you know, if we don't try to work together and come to some common solution here together, it'll be the same way for the next 20 years that it has the last 20 years. So I guess what I'm trying to say to everybody, let's try to get together. Let's, when the person comes next week, I ask all the people that I emailed to come up with constructive comments and questions. And you know, I think if we keep it courteous, I think we might be able to make some progress in the meeting on the 22nd. Is that right? 22nd or 22nd?
Yeah.
6 o'clock here. And, you know, throwing grenades, you know, I've thrown a few of those in my life, works in some places. Some places it doesn't work at all. I don't think it'd work here. So let's see if we can't work some, with some, find some common ground where we can come up with a solution and enhance the services of the Dunwoody Post Office.
Wonderfully said. And, are you buying for the postmaster?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much for those comments. Denny, any other discussion, comments on this? All right, all in favor of this resolution, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Resolution passes. Other business? We have none. Public comment? Are there any other public comment cards? Brian?
Point of information, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, John.
I would like to state for the post office issue that Mr. Sims does bring up a good issue in the sense of the zip codes. There are currently 4 zip codes in the city of Dunwoody. 30360 is designated as Doraville. And I know that the city has looked at the streets that fall in that zip code. And if there was any way in which we could designate or have the post office look at designating the city code for 30360 to be Dunwoody instead of Doraville, I think it would be a great benefit to the many citizens that live in that zip code in the city of Dunwoody, especially in the sense of the federal census that's coming up. I think it's a project that the city should be working on, and I know that we are looking into doing that. So it ties in nicely with the hearing on the 22nd, and I would encourage us to look at that aspect. I think it's a worthwhile project for us to work towards.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Moving on to public comment, and I'll remind everybody, just the public comment, it's not an interactive exercise, meaning we can't, is that a protocol to answer questions that you might pose to us during public comment, but it is for public comments that bring your questions or concerns. But just to remind everybody again, we're not going to have an interactive exercise at that point. So with that being said, I'm going to call Betsy Choder up.
This is my first meeting. I'm not sure this was a correct thing to do. I was just wondering if there's an ordinance here in the city that requires businesses to post a business license or at least the name of the owner or contact person. I've noticed that the Dunwoody Coin Laundromat or whatever it's called there on King Shalford, there's nothing there in case a machine is broken or somebody needs their money back or one of the machines is broken into.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Mr. Lindsay Ballow.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I just want to say that I do share Councilman Wittenstein's, Councilman Hennigan's concerns about the pedestrian-friendly access to the intersection change here, but I'm also concerned with cyclists. Looking at slide 9, there's really no way for a cyclist to come in and merge with the traffic. And I know that we're moving towards trying to become a more cycling-friendly city. And I'm just wondering if there's something that we can do, put up a sign, watch for cyclists, yield for cyclists, beware of cyclists, so just something to let people know that there are other two-wheeled vehicles that are coming in on the side of the road there.
Thank you. Marcia Davis.
Good
Cooper can remember the number of comments that I had there.
I'll give this back if you'd like to read your notes.
Can't read it.
One was, again, about the new intersection, and I find the big pole, your comment about a big pole, is overshadows even the big blue water tower there, and it's a real eyesore. So hopefully there's something that can be done to enhance that, even maybe painting it black. Maybe it would disappear if you pinch it black. But last night I went through there for the first time, and it was a very sharp right turn. I can see that it could be rather dangerous. I assume that it, sooner or later there'll be some kind of signs or things in the road that would point you toward that, but it was a very sharp right turn, but it does really project you into the traffic a lot better, so that hopefully once people become used to it, it will become better. And then just a point about the pedestrian, there wasn't a pedestrian crossing before, so it's really not a change there. It was dangerous before, but too. I guess nothing has changed on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
Tom Dwyer.
Good evening, council members. I am a member of the community council, and I'd like to take this opportunity to invite all of you to our meeting on Thursday night. A lot of the issues that come before the council here actually come before the community council a couple months prior to going. They go 1 month before the planning and zoning, and then in the third month, approximately, they come to city council. So we heard the farmers market issue before it ever hit the papers by a month. Unfortunately, we're not advertised. And so as part of a grassroots effort to get the word out, I'm standing here before you tonight, and I would like to encourage you to think about perhaps advertising our meetings as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. It's Sean Harrison. Did I get that correct?
Yes, sir. Well, I just wanted to echo your sentiment on the post office resolution. And what I wanted to encourage everybody to keep in mind is I use that post office a lot. And one thing I've noticed is we, the citizens, don't take it very good care of. A lot of people use the automated machine and leave their receipts and sort of trash that goes along with what they just printed out for their postages. Leave it, don't throw it away. A lot of stickers of residue from stamps on different things, and so if we want this to stay in that location, which I want it to, we need to take a better care of ourselves.
Thank you, Sean. Lady Jolson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. 2 points I want to make. I read in the information that was provided by the PCID, I saw one bullet point in there, video detection at the intersection, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming that that's for, it's not for speeding or going through lights. Okay, just want to be clear on that. And then I may get my house egged on this issue, but I'm an avid walker in Dunwoody and watch folks in their car driving, and I am one to answer my cell phone in the car if it's ringing. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm texting yet, but I hope I never get to that point. I hope at some point in time that the council will consider some type of cell phone restrictions, texting restrictions, or something like that, because there are a lot of folks that are doing texting and other things in their car with their phone, calling and all that kind of stuff, and not paying attention to what's before them and driving. So I'm a little concerned as a walker, so I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Matt Schaefer.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Probably don't need the microphone.
No, please do. It's being recorded.
Yes. Oh, okay, thank you. I just would like to discuss the issue about Camden moving towards transitional housing. I live in the area that's near the Doraville Park Dunwoody, and there's a notion that they would like to rezone, and they would like to have individuals there who are trying to re-enter society.
There you go.
They may have some homelessness issues or drug and alcohol addiction, and they would like to rezone that area for those individuals to move into. I'm personally not very excited about the idea with some of the apartment complexes that they have built in the area. Our neighborhood is facing a lot of crime. We've had some break-ins, and I'd just like to say that hopefully we could kind of move against having any type of additional accommodations made for those individuals.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you.
I think that was the last public comment card. I'm going to move for adjournment.
Yes, John.
Before we close, if I could, Mayor, there's three meetings that are happening this week. If I could just remind the public of what's happening. The Planning Commission will be holding on Tuesday, June 9th, they will be discussing a special land use permit for the Curry Recovery Center for Transitional Housing at the corner of Peachford and Shallowford. They'll also be reviewing an amendment on wing walls and residential zones. So that's on Tuesday. The Community Council will be meeting Thursday, and they will be discussing a text amendment for outdoor lighting efficiency. They're also looking at a new zoning designation for governmental properties. Thursday morning, the Sustainability Commission will be meeting, and they will be discussing items from the ARC's Green Communities Checklist in order to get certification for the city's green status. So those are three meetings that are happening this week that I wanted to remind the public on before we close.
Okay, thank you, John. All those meetings will be held right here in this room, and two of them, I know it's 7 p.m. One's the sustainability. What time is it, John?
The sustainability, I believe, is at 6:45 in the morning. It's early. It's early in the morning on Thursday.
6:45
in the morning. Is it 7? It's early in the morning.
It is sustainability.
It's sustainability, yes.
Have a test.
Hi, Warren. Speaker B.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a clarification.
That's all right.
Information we got right around 5 o'clock today with the Curry Center with the transitional housing special land use permit has withdrawn its application.
Thank you for that, Warren. Okay. I've again made a motion to adjourn.
Check it.
There's a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is adjourned, or we are adjourned.
That's the quickest meeting ever.